And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 163.
163.
I am one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm another one of your hosts, Samantha Rund.
And welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably.
Probably.
We are here again. Once again, we're back. This time with a good friend of ours, a musician. That's how you pronounce it. A musician, a comedian, sometimes even actor, writer, all around artist, right? Jay Middleton. He's here. Thank you, Jay, for dropping in today.
Thank you, guys.
Hey.
Thank you. We need to write something again.
We do.
That was a lot of fun.
Samantha, I don't know if you saw it. The coming out short, little short.
That I did. Oh, I did see it.
So Jay and I co-wrote that. It was based off of one of his jokes that I said this would be a good short.
That's and so cool.
Then he wrote it. Then we rewrote.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then filmed it, and it was super fun.
Nice.
And yeah, that was. I forget if that was before. Yeah, that was before. That was right after the 48. That's right.
Yeah, it was after the 48-hour film festival.
Yeah. When I had energy still, man. But yeah, this fun episode. We got to talk to Jay about some music stuff and growing up in religious households where that took him. And this conversation flew by.
It really did. It was really hard not to keep asking questions.
Yeah.
Some of his time abroad, unexpected twists and turns.
See, this is why you need to start a Patreon, because then you can release the extra bonus content.
We do have a Patreon account, actually. We just don't get the bonus parts for yet.
Everybody has a Patreon.
Yeah. Listeners, and in fact, if you want to support the show and become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf, and for as little as $1 a month, help support the show. Or you can step up a level and become an Inner Circle member, like Tara Widener, Keith Nagel, Stefan Ward. They're part of the Inner Circle. You can be too. And also, you can support it by going to Apple Podcasts. Give us a nice glowing review there and 5 stars. It really helps us in the rankings and try to climb out of the abyss of comedy podcasts. And also, you can support us by going to our other jobs, right? Going to our other podcast. You can go and check out my other podcast, the sister podcast to this. It's called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. It is a podcast dedicated to educating and empowering home buyers all across the nation, and where I also connect listeners to real estate agents to help them achieve those home buying dreams. And of course, if you're in Seattle, Washington, you can come check me out, Silas Lindenstein at Boutique Brokerage, and I can help you buy or sell a home. And this show is also brought to you by
Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Run. So you can listen to that podcast also wherever you're listening to your podcast, or you can watch it on YouTube if you prefer viewing options. And we talk even more about performance art stuff, things like that. And then, of course, if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills so that you can communicate with more of your whole self, that voice, body, mind connection, whether you're a performer, not a performer, if you're looking for personal development or even assistance crafting something that you're writing on as well, I can help with all that. You can email me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com with questions.
And of course, you can also, our guest, you can check out his band, Aurora's Eyes. Correct.
You can go check us out. We're on Facebook. We're on all the socials.
Yeah.
AuroraZeyes.com. You can go over there and link up to whatever streaming service that you listen to. You can buy physical copies of our last record, The Grief, on there. And if you buy it on there, I will personally mail it to you with a letter handwritten by me.
Nice.
Showing my appreciation to you supporting us. Also because I'm not making any of the money to the record. It's all going to our next record that we're going to work on. So, but yeah, you can do that. Auroraseyes.bandcamp.com. I help produce a radio show called Northwest Phenomenon, hosted by Mario Magana. You can go to northwestphenomenon.com and check out which radio station near you it's located at. We're in Ocean Shores, Auburn, Washington, Carnation, and just also streaming everywhere online. I play two different characters on the show. I do a reporting. I read a story every episode, every week, and I also play the weather guy. So,
nice.
You can listen to my alter ego, Quentin Anton, with the weather.
Awesome. So yeah, you can listen.
I have one other thing we never got to in the podcast that I just had to say super quickly.
What?
Okay.
It's a book that was a Facebook friend like posted, hey, if you liked Harry Potter, but you want to read like another Harry Potter type of book, but instead of Harry Potter, it's actually a black little girl.
Oh,
check it out. And it was so good. I mean, I admit it, like I got it because I'm like, name? I want something else to read. I'm going to tell you. Like, but
tell you, but
Silas is like, hurry up, we're out of time. Fine, whatever.
So you have anyways, me a black, it's called, I'm gonna buy it now. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know, but they might want to know more. So it's really good. It took me a second to not like just compare it to Harry Potter, right? Just because I couldn't help it. But it's its own thing. It's really good. Highly recommend it. I want to get the second book. The second book's not out till February, so that's how much I'm recommending it to you guys. And it is called Amari and the Knight Brothers.
And the Knight Brothers.
Yeah, the author is I can't remember his name, but he's a black author from North or South Carolina.
I'll go try to read the book and then let's get him on the show.
Ah, yes, that would be amazing.
So do that.
There you go.
Love to have him on the show.
Yeah, we'll have him on the show in the future. But right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got this show.
Well, yes.
So I want you all to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 163. Jay Middleton.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
You two do know each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember we were on the same competition.
Yep.
That we had Sam was on, but I didn't know if you two knew each other besides that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the first time we met.
I think so too.
I think it was that, or I don't think it was even an open mic. I think it was just that movie day that we worked on.
Oh, that too. We did both. That's right.
Wait, which competition?
Wait, that imbecile, the one I met you on. Imbecile, the brewery.
Imbibe.
Oh, Imbibe.
Imbibe. Yeah, Imbibe or Imbibe.
Why did
I
call it imbecile?
I have no idea. I thought you were actually saying
no,
you were.
I thought that was the name.
You were calling yourself an imbecile because you thought it was something other than it was.
You hosted that, and Samantha and I were on.
Was I? No.
She I have no recollection other than that I know you from comedy.
No. It was you and...
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. Yeah. Chris Rodriguez. That was the first time I met
Chris.
That was the first time I met you and Chris.
That's right. Now, I blended those... I forgot I had done that show. I blended those two shows together.
Yeah. I did Imbibe twice.
What a horrible drive.
And then I did a competition there once. So I've done it three times, but... Okay.
You know, I judge comedy shows now by what my drive is like.
Yeah.
It's not about the room and the audience. It's like, how much traffic was there on the way to the show?
Oh yeah. That's like, I'll tell you what was funny was the, one of the competition ones at Imbibe, because you and I text each other randomly about cryptocurrency and such.
Yeah.
So at one of those competitions there at Imbibe, there was a bunch of like 50-year-old dudes that were gathering to have a cryptocurrency meeting. And really? I was like, I was making a joke about it. Like during the competition, I made a joke about it. And now I'm kicking myself in the ass for not joining in on that meeting, like learning more about it, like with how crazy cryptocurrency is today.
Yeah.
But
wow. Oh, interesting. What year was that?
That had to have been 2018. I think my daughter was still.
You had just had a baby.
I just had a baby. Yeah. So cause my daughter was born in February of 18. And I think this was like in fall of 18.
Okay. I'm going to check right now.
But you and I did that show, I think before my daughter was born, because I was making jokes about becoming a dad.
Oh, maybe. I just remember you already bought a house. So I was like, should I even talk to him? You already have one. Wait, okay. No, I want to see. So in 2018, say fall, well, yeah, maybe we should have listened to them.
We should have.
Crypto. Okay, I'm going to say, I think it was hot. So I'm just going to say it was something like September.
Brian, still, who plays guitar in my band, is a huge cryptocurrency nerd.
So it was like 7,000. It was so Bitcoin was at 7,000 something. It did drop at the end of the year, like in half, right? So I would have lost my faith then anyway. I would have been like, don't listen to people at comedy shows.
I mean, that's like the whole Dogecoin thing. You know, when I joined in originally, it was at like 0.003 of a penny.
Okay. But it's.
And nobody thought it would reach a penny.
Samantha, do you know what cryptocurrency is?
It's made up money that's real because people believe it is, right? It's
meme money,
just like
right?
Every well,
that's,
money.
That's real. That's what money is. Yeah.
That's just what I said. I said just like every money.
But okay, so this is.
No, I remember you told me. Right? Yeah. You told me put some money on. You told me if you got some spare money, put it on Doge.
But then I don't you, think I
but
told
then you,
you,
you, you did, but then you didn't tell me when to take it out.
No,
but I didn't put very much money there.
That's because you don't take it out. You just put it in there.
Did you really put it in Doge?
I did. I did like $20. You were like, you got to do it before he goes on SNL. And I was like,
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll put in $20. Cause if it goes away, then I won't be devastated.
And then I just left it there.
I just left it there. And then I saw you posting on Facebook I saw somebody post on Facebook. And then I saw your comment like, yeah, that's why I knew I had to get it out before he finished his monologue or something like that. I was like, what the hell, man? You told me to do it before he gets on. You never said when to take it off.
Oh, before this he comes on.
Oh,
both. You had to
no,
do it,
he didn't then, say both.
Well, you know what happened?
This is why I need to not get involved.
We were delayed a week because I was the wrong week.
Yeah, because we started talking about it like a week before.
Yeah, we were wrong about what week he was coming on.
Aww.
And but then just see, you got to be texting me more. Like about,
you're right. I
when
do.
When should I take this out?
I do need
and
to.
And like, honestly, an hour ago.
I should. I know. I need to know more about
my
it.
Feelings
if I'm going to like
falter.
Play.
I didn't know you'd listen to me. Jeez.
Yeah, I listened to you. You know. I put a less than half listened to you because you said you said $50. Like, so I did 20.
Oh, 20. it could skyrocket. I mean, I made money. So
see, well, you know what you're doing.
I was like, nah, I'm going to take this out.
Don't
it's going to
know
collapse.
What I'm doing with this stuff yet.
I'm just leaving it in and just waiting it out.
Well,
I'm just
yeah,
waiting for it, I'm just waiting for it to hit 4.2069 a share.
It's not. Doge is fake. Like Doge is really fake.
Dude, all cryptocurrency is fake.
Yes, no, but like Doge is really fake. Like
because
nobody takes it.
Cryptocurrency is like a religion in itself. You have all these people putting its money
but
and faith
mathematically
into
it's hard.
It is very hard. You know what bothers me the most is like that Tesla said that they were going to stop investing in Bitcoin because it was bad for the environment.
You know, well, okay.
How does that make any sense? How does cryptocurrency that's made on the internet affect the environment?
Because actually, there was an article about it, which people were like shitting on Elon Musk about. For he's like, they're saying you're so. Oh, you're a fake environmentalist, because there was an article that came out about how much energy was being consumed by all these computers now that were mining Bitcoin. My God. So they were saying it was contributing to greenhouse gases, and they're calling him a fake environmentalist for it. And I mean, it did have some validity.
Okay.
And it has caused a graphics card shortage. And
so if Bitcoin,
if
Bitcoin has caused an environmental issue because of computers overheating, how much shit do you think Blizzard with World of Warcraft has gotten into with affecting the environment?
Except they don't, they're not, their company doesn't.
My mind immediately went to Dairy Queen.
Their company isn't all about environmentalism, like, or that's not a speaking point.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but people are looking for a reason to shit on.
Of course, Elon. Everybody wants to shit on the person that's gotten some success and is doing crazy,
actually doing good things with his life.
Yeah, the only thing negative would say is that I've heard some things from former employees through a friend of mine who works for a competitive rocket company, because they grabbed employees that used to work for SpaceX. And he heard stories about how he treats, I guess, SpaceX employees. And so I've heard negative things, but I'm not speaking for those people.
Yeah, but you know what? But
people like that have a mentality and a drive and a goal that they're forcing others to try to meet at their standard.
And we hear the same thing about Steve Jobs. And
yep.
And here's the thing. You know what I call that? I call that a boss.
Yes.
Most bosses I didn't like, they're assholes.
No, I don't.
Your boss is not an asshole.
No, I've had
because they listen to this podcast. But
yeah, right. No, I've had like various bosses. I just don't think that one goes in hand with the other. I couldn't speak about those men specifically because I haven't worked with them.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, there was one place in particular I worked, where I will not mention again who the person was, but it was somebody like highly revered, this and that. They came into where I was working. Like, they didn't, that wasn't their home base of where they would work at various places of where they owned. And they came in one time and I was just so excited to meet them. And I, after meeting them, my opinion of them went like way down.
Oh yeah.
I just find it's that sad when that happens, you know?
That happened when I worked in radio, because like when you meet some of the CEO people or the like high level people that come to visit your market or whatever, you kind of build this expectation, you know, that like they started from somewhere like what you're trying to do. So you think that they'd be on the humble level that you're trying to be at, you know, and try to stay grounded and such. And that could, it's a 50-50. You know, I've had bosses that were really good. And then I've met bosses who are like, I never want to see you again. You know, I'm right. Glad you don't work in this market, you know, but that was luckily, like, I don't work in that industry anymore and have to deal with that kind of atmosphere. I'll tell you, like, I work for my dad right now, and
what a jerk.
There's been times where it's stressed our relationship out, mm-hmm. but that is something we've learned and grown from. But now we're on the same level, you know, when it comes to certain things, because he grew me from the bottom up. And
right, like you weren't even born yet.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know, that he's been the long haul investment in that.
So, you know, it is what it is though. But yeah. I understand like the difference between my dad being the asshole boss versus my dad being my dad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference that I separate work and home.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad when we worked in the same building because we'd see each other all the time. But now since I work at a location he doesn't regularly go to on a daily basis, it's not as difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel like it's the same. I mean, the same thing worked in the whole radio thing. You know, like I wouldn't see those bosses that would come to visit because they would be like in Boston, I think it was, or somewhere in Massachusetts. And then they come to Seattle to come visit this cluster over here. And it was like high stress level for like 2 weeks straight. So, but it's kind of like that. Any big corporation is kind of like that.
Are you ever afraid you could get fired now?
Say what?
Do you ever think you could get fired?
Oh, of course. Oh, really? Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think your dad would fire you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because, and I would understand why, like, you know, it would be a shock, but all of a sudden, like, you know, it happened to be for a good, valid reason. You right. know, he doesn't make hasty decisions that don't, you know, the thing is like, I won't say what company I work for.
Right.
But
you were just reading my mind. Cause I was totally like, what do you do?
I do, but I do, I work in collision repair, and that's a very stressful gig because of how many procedures from manufacturers you have to follow. And just make sure, like, let's say you got the car and you have to do a lot of structural repair. You need to make sure you measure it out, do everything right to go back to the factory standard. Because if the person got hit again and the repair failed, that's on you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you want to make sure that the structural integrity is back to factory standard as best as you can. Now, you know, if I made a mistake because I didn't do a quality control on something, then, you know, I need to be held accountable, and I will hold myself accountable. That's just what it is. So it's like making a mistake. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, we see comics making mistakes out there a lot, and they try to not, they do the, either the PR version of holding themselves accountable, but they never change, or mm-hmm. they actually do hold themselves accountable and change. Now, if I got fired, yeah, I would probably deserve it, but I would have to learn and grow from it going into the next job and change. Because if I don't, then I'm going to get fired at the next one.
How would you go into Thanksgiving though?
Honestly, I probably wouldn't care.
Yeah, really.
You know.
That what you're talking about, like people where they like apologize and they do or they don't change. It just reminds me of one of my favorite quotes is sorry without changed behavior is just manipulation.
Yes.
Is it, or exactly. is it just laziness?
It could be laziness too, but if you expect somebody to accept your apology, then I think that's where the manipulation factor comes in. But if you say sorry and you're just like, oh, whatever, sorry, and you never expect anything again, then maybe it's laziness.
You're annoyed because your spouse keeps not putting the dishes in the dishwasher, and they say, I'm sorry, but then they fail to do that again. Are they manipulating you?
Being a pain in the ass?
Yeah.
I think, that one's a hard one. I mean, okay. I kind of think yes and no.
Your spouse keeps falling asleep before you can have sex.
Ooh, that's
the
worst.
And then just says sorry. And they go, okay, but then they do it again. Are they manipulating you?
Well, it depends. Which one's sleep? Falling asleep?
The one.
That's true. That's Wait, true.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Which I guess one? In the scenario, it would be your spouse. So it would be the reverses for us. Because I'm like, if I'm falling asleep, it's fine. But if he's falling asleep, there's a problem. No. People get tired. Adults are busy, right?
You know what? My wife has, she's not narcoleptic, but she's like borderline, like almost got diagnosed it. But doctors don't want to do it because, unless they're sure, because it follows you forever. Because like you can't, like you can have trouble getting car insurance and.
Oh, diagnosed. Yep. I see.
Yeah.
Hey, well, don't talk like, about that's this like on stroke the record, victims. Man. No, you no, gotta no. take she's this not. Off the
she's
record.
Not. Hold on. No, she's not. She doesn't have it, though.
Okay, good. Make that clear.
Yeah, she does not have it. But what she can do, she can fall asleep like that.
That's awesome.
Like anywhere. Damn. Like she can just like lay down, calm down, goes to sleep. So when I first met her, like I'd have to keep talking to her. to make sure she stayed awake. Also, she had a wonky schedule. So yeah. She was like already like 2 a.m. Starbucks kind of waking up. But it was always funny because like I'd be sitting there, like maybe just lying there talking, like, oh, let me go get us another beer or whatever. Or, oh, let me just go get something in the other room. And I'd come back and she's asleep. She was just comfortable. Like, what the hell? It's like 9. Do you wake up? Like, I hate waking people that you're newly dating.
Hey,
like, right?
You want to wake up? Because
if you've been, like, I get the hell up.
Hey, come on, wake up.
Wait,
when do you ever say get the hell up? Is that a common thing you say?
When it's their turn to get the baby, okay? Get up.
Well, yeah, get up. It's just you threw the hell in it. Yeah.
Of course, I throw it in. This is like a bar show. You just got to throw in a curse in the middle of your...
Throw it in.
Middle of the set. Yeah, no, like I'm going to tell her to do anything, please. I like to live.
But something tells me if those dishes were done, somebody might not have fallen asleep. Be a causality thing right there. Just
nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
I'm making up the dish part. I'm making up. I was just trying to give an example.
I got the example there.
You guys both got it. I did not. I was like, yeah, that could be a real thing.
No,
dishes are dirty. Pain in the ass. Like what?
No, there's no thing. I do all the dishes. It doesn't matter. I'm here all day. Eventually,
well, that's good. And you do them.
Eventually,
I'm good about doing the dishes now. I was not great about it when I was younger.
No, same.
Yeah, it took me a while to catch on to just how annoying that is. I was
really bad at it.
My biggest flaw, really.
Your biggest flaw was
the dishes? My biggest flaw was not doing the dishes. Yeah,
it's. I don't know. Samantha's about to experience. Jay, how many children?
Well,
do you have?
And Jay, I cut him off too because he was talking about his dishes experience.
Oh yeah. So like, my first moving out of my parents' house experience was like, it felt I had to learn basically just like the speed of how fast I needed to get stuff done because of the roommate situation, or else I was just going to get yelled at the entire time.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was is like, I get used to it for a little bit, and then he would go out on tour because he was in a touring band, and so I wouldn't see him for like 3 weeks. So the laziness factor would kick back in, and just go back to square one. So, and that was a wild time for us to live together. We were really good friends when I was working in radio. He was in a band that basically would get hired by the radio station all the time to basically come and do covers and such like that, and we started becoming friends, and then all of a sudden he asked me if I wanted to move into this house with him. It was cheap enough. And I was like, hell yeah, I need to get out of my parents' house. I'm 20. I need to get out. And so I move out into there, and it was just crazy because like you had bandmates coming over and partying. And I was in a local band at the time, and we would have practices in this like Rambler in the middle of like, I guess it'd just be like the lowest income area of the town that we lived in. So you had like a potluck of people, like of different immigrants around that would come banging on doors, wondering what the fuck was going on and just crazy shit. And, I mean, there was drug dealers living across from us too. So that was insane. And I had to leave after there was a party that happened like down the street from the house that I was living in where a kid got knocked out and ended up dying in the front yard because of hypothermia. So he got knocked out, landed in the front yard, and he froze or he basically got too cold overnight. And
he just never woke up.
Yeah.
Like knocked out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I need to get out of this neighborhood. So I just got out of there and I moved back home for like a couple of years, actually just a year, I think. And then I moved back out in my first apartment into a worse situation, like around, just, it was really eclectic downtown Kent, you know, and yeah, just right near the bowling alley. And, you'd wake up to wondering if it was gunshots or fireworks kind of situation. Oh, wow. So it was just, it was a weird situation, and it was a lot of Russian mob in the area.
I'm just, I'm just like a wimp, I guess. I never lived anywhere like that. I'm like, no, I'll take the nice.
Tell you, like, going to a third world country, kind of calmed me down when I came back, because that was more intense of like being around a lot of dudes holding like AK-47s, and just like, you don't, you're kind of in a weird area, you don't know who to trust, and just like, you don't understand language, you don't understand like what's going on around you. The night before I flew out, there was a terrorist group that tried to attack the U.S. embassy in this country that I went to.
Were
you serving, or were you just
What were you doing?
No, so believe
it or
not,
were you like working for comedy material, like mining?
So before I met you guys, I was a church kid, and I did a mission trip because I had a dream, and for some reason I thought it told me to go to Uganda. So I went to Uganda, and I snagged Beringi and brought him back here to the United States. So, no, so, but that was, that actually, it was kind of funny to find out that he knows exactly where I was at too, because him and I talked about it. It's pretty cool. But, my best friend, who I dubbed my brother, who served in Afghanistan for a year, came over like at 10 o'clock at night, the night before I flew out, and brought me a news story about this. Like, he printed out a news story about this terrorist attack or attempted terrorist attack. And what happened was, a bunch of Sudanese terrorists came down in a car with loaded with guns, bombs in the trunk, and they still had Sudanese license plates on the car. And they got pulled over by Ugandan police because those two countries don't really get along with each other. So they automatically are like, oh, Sudanese plates, get over here. Get over here now. And that's how they found them.
Wow.
So that was a very kind of a scary thing, especially like after being in the country for 2 weeks, and you learn that like the police over there, all they do is like stand on the side of the road, and just like, if they think you're going too fast, they point at you and tell you to pull over. And if you don't pull over, they don't go chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the strangest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But being there for 2 weeks really opened my eyes to humanity in general. One of the things was like, that was actually the beginning of me leaving religion, was being over there. I was in a country where it was illegal to be homosexual. You get life in prison. And one of the things that happened to me when I was over there was I had to go do ministry in a prison, two different prisons. So the first prison I go into was kind of like a minimal security prison. It's for like petty theft. There's a lot of kids in there because theft is a huge thing over there.
Yeah.
And you could tell people didn't give a shit you were there. They didn't care. They knew they were going to be out in like the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the maximum security prison. These guys are war criminals. And there's homosexuals there because that's where they go. If they catch you being a homosexual, you go into this prison.
With the war criminals.
With the war criminals, murderers, and such like that. Hmm. It's such a corrupt country.
Yeah.
But these people were singing when we pulled up, like in the car. We pulled up in this bus, this little van, and we could hear them singing and dancing and such. And it was pretty wild to see, like, they were actually excited for us to come and talk. And we got to, like, be a part of, like, feeding them and such, lunches and such. And it was very interesting, but it was also eye-opening to just see, like, a church on every single corner. Everywhere you went, there was, like, a church. And really, the church only helps you if you are sucked into their whole scheme.
Yeah.
So, and it bothers me. They bothered me a lot. And one of the things that, like, I remember talking about, because they, at the church that I was at, they were like, you know, we want you to talk about your story. We want you to talk about your thing, you know. And one of the things I was like, you know, in Uganda, like, these people live in a messed up, like, environment, in a messed up world, but they have more of a sense of community and treat each other more like as people, like neighbors, mm-hmm. than I see in America. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of, like, hatred towards each other in America. I see a lot of division in America. Like, this is even before, like,
Facebook,
the clusterfuck of the of Trump. And, you know, we saw a lot of division rising up over and over and over. I saw no sense of community, and I got laughed off the stage.
Wait, what? That.
Yeah, at this church. They thought I was nuts. They thought I was being dumb for saying that, because they didn't believe it. Because in that church, it's its own community.
Right.
But I'm like, that's not the point of what I'm trying to tell you. You know what I mean? You're only a community with your own people because you're excluding them because they don't believe the same thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't give money to the same organization you're a part of.
Yeah.
You know, it's a problem.
And that was the church that was there, or the one that you were
That was the church I was a part of.
From here.
From Maple Valley, Washington, near Imbibe. And they had a school, a college over in Uganda. So I went there to visit for 2 weeks. And because I thought maybe I would go live over there for a certain amount of time.
Oh my God.
That was a thought in my head.
Yeah.
And
white people are crazy.
I realized that wasn't for me. You know, not being able to live over there, but I felt like my position in my faith that I had was diminishing.
I'm like, oh, I shouldn't make you, like, talk about too much. It's just fascinating to me. I like find people's stories about their, like, religious or spiritual experience. It's, like, fascinating. So when you had your break from religion, did you hold on to some of your other beliefs, or did it kind of all go so to the wayside?
So what's funny is, like, you know, I left, the last day I was in a church was the Sunday before the 2016 election. So I've told the story a couple of times, but, what was that?
Something popped up.
Stop. So the last that Sunday, so a little bit of backstory. After I got back from Uganda, I basically got a side hustle of playing drums for churches. And so that was the one thing that churches were having issues with, was trying to get drummers. They could get every other musician, but they just couldn't get drummers. So they would pay you like $50 a service to go play. And so I was like, well, I love playing drums, so I'll go play. And I always kept it professional. I wouldn't, you know, I would just do what they tell me to do. I would
down with church.
You know, that's pretty much it. But I just started, like, losing interest. I think I just gotten married. Yeah, I did. Because I got married on October 1st of 2016, and this was, like, the last Sunday before the election of 2016, where Trump and Clinton were going against each other. And the church turned into a Trump rally. And I was like, this is not me. This is not what I believe in. I believe in the separation of church and state. The biggest problem was the pastor at that church was trying to say that, you know, we should forgive the candidate for the things that he said about women and what he's done to women in his past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should forgive that candidate, you know, in our judgments of who we're going to choose. But then I looked at it as like, so if you're going to forgive him for that, are you going to forgive her for her emails?
Isn't it an interesting concept, though, to forgive somebody who hasn't asked for forgiveness or changed their behavior?
Exactly. That's my point, too. I mean, is like, my grandma, who's a devout Christian, I was raised in the church because her and my grandpa brought us. And when I was a kid, and basically she said, he's a horrible Christian. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all, you know, and he's just a horrible person. So, and that's just what I truly believed. And I knew he was a horrible person from the get-go, you know, and we all did. I think all three of us can agree, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. I really just, I got fed up. And I texted, when I got home from that service, I texted the music director, said, that was my last service. Thank you for your time. I'm done. That's it. That's all I said. And then she asked me, you know, hey, is there something that really bothered you about service? I said, yes, everything that I do not believe in happened today. And I don't want to be a part of that. And so I thought that was professional. 2 days later, the pastor of the church decided to text me. Never heard from him before. And he wanted to sit down and talk to me to understand why I was so upset. And I kind of talked about it with a few friends, like, should I give him my time? And all of them said, fuck no. You know, all of them were just like, you should not, you know, just ignore him. And I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to him. So I texted him and we just never made it happen. But what's funny is like, I don't really believe in the whole Jesus Christian thing anymore. I don't believe in really religion anymore. I'm anti-theistic. But if you had to put my ideals and my views to a religion, they line up more with Satanism or the Satanic Temple's tenets than they do with the Ten Commandments. And that's because I have a more science-based belief than a theistic, mystic belief.
I don't know what the satanic ones
I know.
Are,
I was like, I don't know anything about that.
I'm like, that's my inner black man just went, Yeah.
I was just like, you know what? Reserve your judgment because the way I'm hearing it might not be the way he's meaning it because your vibe does not match with what I
know. But I bet the satanic ones are like, I bet their principles are way different than.
There's like, no black magic. There's theistic stuff to it. There's
it doesn't
no
say like eat babies
shit.
Or anything.
We don't balance our chakras. We don't pimp kids out of a pizza parlor.
Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with balancing one's chakras.
Well,
no feng shui.
I help produce a paranormal radio show and conspiracy theory radio show. All I do is supply some content for the show. And there's a gal that we have there that's on weekly that does some chakra balancing. And it's just kind of like, to me, it's just kind of, this could be easily, you know, predetermined. But also when I was like 16 years old, I went to bumper shoot and had my palm read and I was like, well, this is very vague, you know? So it's just kind of like the intuition kind of thing of like, you know, what to really believe, you know, and just like, if that's your thing, that's your fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I'm not going to shame you on what you want to believe. That's the same thing with like religion. If you want to believe, you know, that a virgin was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and then gave birth to a child that decided to get nailed, you know, for other people's sins when they were 30. That's you. That's okay. Your thing.
So I have up the Satanic Temples.
Oh boy.
Seven fundamental tenets. One, One should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. Number two, the struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. Three, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone.
I don't think I said that word right. Yeah, it's basically just like you are the master of your destiny with your own body. You choose what you want to do with it. You can't let somebody else tell you what to do.
Yeah. Number four, the freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. Number five, beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific fact to fit one's belief. Number six, people are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. And the last one, number seven, every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word.
So, that is not at all what I would have expected.
No, not at all. That's not
pretty
what,
deep, right?
I'll see Marilyn Manson screaming.
Well, somebody was telling me that. That's the thing. Somebody was telling, who was it?
So
they were weeks ago. They were like, it's not what everybody thinks it is. And I was like, well, when I've met very few people who have actually told me this in the past, they did not have a vibe like yours at all. It was more like what you would imagine from stereotypical Hollywood movies about it.
I'm not a practicing person. Like you don't go to a church. You don't go, pray. You don't read a Bible. You know what I mean? You just act like a good human being and use common sense. You know, one of the things that I help donate to is to help women get products, menstrual products like tampons and maxi pads, stuff like that, that can't afford them. You know, there's charities that they help out with to help fund those. So people who can't, it boggles my mind that shit's not free.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Thank you. Exactly. Like, I feel like if all of the women, which is easier for me to say than to want to be a part of, but if everybody just when it was their time was we're going to just not do anything about it until they're given to us for free.
Yeah.
You better believe things are going to be given for free real fast.
But using the whole science to use towards fact and not have it be changed to fit someone's belief. You know how much Christianity does that to science? Like, there are people that believe that the dinosaurs and Adam and Eve were in the same time period.
Right.
They believe the earth is only 1500 years old, to fit their belief system. And it just doesn't make sense. If Adam and Eve was a true thing, then we're all inbred. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. Right.
Right.
So there's just the thing about the Satanic Temple is it's a denomination, basically, because there's many of them. There's ones that are mystic. There's Luciferian. There is Levianism, Anton LaVey, Satanism. I just don't believe in the mystic shit. I don't believe in a theistic being. You know what I mean? I just want to be a compassionate person and try to work with people and try to help make the world a better place, because I like to network and work with people together. I understand that some people you just can't work with. You know what I mean? It's one thing you bring a guy from the South who was raised away, who doesn't understand, black culture, and because he was raised by racist parents. You have compassion to work with that person to have them understand and change. They don't change. You don't work with that person because that person will not help the future change. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I believe you don't need a religion to be a good, compassionate person. at all. A lot of people use that as a crutch. Like they say, like, I believe in God because it gives me morals. No, yeah. You get morals because you act as a good conscious being and not like a piece of shit. You know, it's just,
I honestly worry about people who say, who think that, oh, without these rules, without these religious rules, they think everybody would just be doing anything they want.
Not everybody's like Dexter, where they have a code.
Like, is the only
Dexter has a code, though.
I know, but not everybody's like that. It's not like they were given a code of rules that they have to follow.
But I'm just like, wait, so you're telling basically if they didn't have these rules against it, you'd be doing some heinous shit right now.
Exactly. You know,
so
I believe I believe the same people that use, like, they say, like, I believe in God because he gives me morals is like the same person's like, I'm not racist, but it's like the same fucking person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know that person.
I don't know. I think though, like it for people, if you're brought up, well, everybody has their own experience and religion, yes, and everything like that. But like, you know, for some people, if you're brought up and you're just taught about the golden rule and you're taught about compassion, you're taught about all these things, and it's like totally wound up with your church experience, that then you grow up to believe like, oh, it came from this. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
so
it can be kind of
like hard to.
Well, but I get mad when people think that they don't understand how I have these principles without religion to stop.
Exactly.
Like, because what the fuck do you think? Where do you think it comes from? Do you think
what you were saying, Sam, earlier about, like, you know, coming from someplace? I came from a church background. I grew up in a church. I grew up around a lot of religion. It was damaging to me. It damaged a lot of my whole pursuit of identity my entire life. The biggest thing that I woke up and realized one day, and it took a lot of therapy to go through this, but like, I tried so hard believing in a God that I lost belief in myself. And that I felt was the root of most of my depression.
Oh, that's going to make me cry. Oh no, I'm just like, I, you know, that just,
that sounds like the beginning or the end of a monologue. Good line.
I mean,
it's a good line.
That's just honestly what I kind of woke up one morning and realized, like, holy shit, you know, this took up like a lot of my life, you know, and all I can do now is just be better. That's really it. You know what I mean? And show, like, my daughter, this is how you be better without this. You don't need this.
Be best.
You know what I mean? Yes. Be best. You know, it's just, I didn't, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, there was only one black person that I knew of growing up. And then.
I
went to. Yeah. In my
Eddie
elementary
Murphy?
School.
Oh, okay.
In my elementary, like. Age range wise, similar.
Right. Okay.
And when I got into junior high, the culture shock for me was insane because I grew up in the boonies, mm-hmm. but it was so cool. You know what I mean? Like, for me to learn and be learning all this new culture, like, that's where I learned about hip hop music. That's where I learned about punk rock. That's where I learned about all sorts of different music from different cultures that, it just really blew my mind up, especially being like somebody who was aspiring to be a musician, you know, it just kind of grew more and more and more. And that's where I learned about, like, oh yeah, we're all different, but we're all the same at the same token.
That's cool. Okay. Hey, we're almost through this hour and yeah.
But
we're not done yet.
I know. I was forcing myself not to ask more questions because I know we've got some.
You know that, mm-hmm. Jay, the first time someone comes on the show,
okay,
we have 7 questions that we ask.
Go for it.
It's the world famous Black and a Half 7 questions.
Got it.
That's the music. All right.
Right. I was imagining the drums.
It's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Like
or it's like I think of Miami Vice. I can feel it coming
in the air tonight.
Speaking of, off topic, have you ever seen the video of those two black kids that listen to songs for the first time?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've never watched any of those. Because,
what is it? I forget their names, but they're like these two guys. They listen to songs for the first time that people suggest.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen ads for that stuff all the time.
The one where they listen to In the Air Tonight is fucking, it's so great. It is such a great reaction of the like, what is this? Amazing. who does that? Who drops it right then? Okay. 3 minutes into the song. Okay. All right. Question number one.
Okay.
What are you most nerdy about?
Metallica. Okay. I'll be honest with you. I run a fan chapter here in Seattle. Like, that's how nerdy I am.
A fan chapter?
Yeah. So, like, the fan club has chapters all across the world.
Okay.
We're actually doing a contest right now for the month of giving to their charity. So members in our chapter are trying to basically raise money. We've raised over $300, but like there's chapters that have way more members than we do that are raising like $2,000. You know what I mean? And so it's pretty insane to see all the cool Metallica fans getting together and raising money for charity, you know, because it's going to Feed America and also to for COVID relief. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And then off to Never Never Land.
Yes. So take my hand to me to the next question.
Okay. What's something that you love to eat?
Ooh. Sushi. Just, I had to think about that because like, it's usually just any Mexican food or sushi.
I was thinking, I was like, is he going to say tacos? Like, I try to guess now. I try to guess whenever we have guests. I usually keep it to myself. I'm usually wrong. But this one, I was
close. Sushi place over in Capitol Hill. I think it's called like Mojimo or something like that. Mm. And it was amazing. It was so good.
Do you have like a favorite kind of sushi?
Usually anything fried.
Really? That's not what I think of for sushi when I...
Well, they take like a California roll, deep fry it, and then cut it up and put like the sriracha mayonnaise on it.
Isn't that the Puyallup affair? Is that really a sushi?
Oh, totally. Totally.
That's something I miss. That's what I want to go out and eat.
Fair food or sushi?
Sushi.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to do that when everything's safe. I have not had good
sushi since
the pandemic. I want like fried calamari and crab legs.
I can get that anywhere.
Whatever.
Fried crab legs?
No, not fried crab legs, just crab legs.
Like king crab?
Dungeness.
Okay. Oh, you're pregnant. You can't, right?
Actually, I can. I just haven't.
You have to be careful. You can't have raw fish.
Well, I don't like raw anything almost.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What's something that you love to drink?
Oh, right now I've been really into Zevia because I'm trying not to drink soda.
Wait, what is it called?
Zevia. So it's made with stevia, which is like a sugar alternative.
Yeah.
And it tastes like soda. Like it tastes like Coke, but I get caffeine free because I'm trying to like lower my caffeine intake because energy drinks have ruined my life. Mm-hmm. And so... but I don't drink anymore. I haven't drank since 2018, on April Fool's Day. So, that's been something that's bettered my life. So I don't drink. I partake in, marijuana stuff on some occasion, but I don't let it rule my life because stoner culture is annoying as fuck.
I think we already know the answer to this, but what kind of music do you love?
Ooh, so I'm kind of on a broader spectrum of that because I can't listen to the same thing for a long period of time. I love Metallica, but I have a limit of like how much I can listen to. The thing about that band is great is that their sound sonically has evolved over the years, so there is variance to it. But I'll give you like my top five favorite bands of all time. Metallica being number one, Rush being number two, Elton John being number three, Alexis on Fire, which is a Canadian punk rock hardcore band, would be number four. And number five is a British prog rock band called Porcupine Tree. It's kind of like a Pink Floyd with some heavier guitar riffs, but still that clean vocals of Pink Floyd.
Interesting. Okay. What kind of music do you love? Oh, sorry. No, I did that.
You already asked me that.
My eyes. What do you love to create?
Music. During this whole pandemic, my band released an album back on June 19th of last year. And we got rid of it because the thing about that record was I wrote the entire thing minus one song. It was the first song that we collaborated on. And I felt like we need to get rid of it and just move on to the next thing, because we started writing new material before leading up to the release of that record, and we knew that we weren't going to be doing any shows. So we're just like, why don't we just put something out, just give people something, and then we'll record something later. And so we have a whole new record almost done that we're going to be heading into the studio later this year to record. So either later this year, beginning of next year. So it's just, we have one issue. Our drummer is doing a cross country bicycle trip right now. And he's going to be doing that for the next 6 months. So yeah. I got to wait till he's back.
Okay.
I just love for him to have like his drums on the front instead of having that little like ring bell. Bell.
He's got a cowbell and he's smacking it.
Yeah.
What is a game you love to play?
So I have this game on my Xbox that is called Jurassic World Evolution, and you basically build Jurassic Park.
Okay. Yeah.
From the ground up. And it's, I get lost in that game because it's like, so I love Star Wars, but I don't love Star Wars as much as like Silas does.
Yeah.
Because I'm not immersed into it as much as that. I love Star Wars. Like I'll watch every movie that comes out. I'll watch every series that comes out.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, my life is not as dedicated to it as like, I love Jurassic Park about maybe as much, just a level below as much as Silas loves Star Wars.
Okay.
I have Jurassic Park tattoos. I have a Star Wars Jurassic Park crossover tattoo on me. It's Yoda riding a T-Rex that's about to eat Jar Jar Binks.
Nice. That's a tattoo?
Yeah. Here, I'll try to pull it up here. Hold on here.
That is bold. That is. Wow.
Yoda. Whoa.
T-Rex. Jar Jar.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. You put Jar Jar on.
Is that because of how much you hate Jar Jar?
Say what?
Is that like because you hate Jar Jar?
I thought it was funny. So back when I was in the church, my buddy Kyle, before he got married to his wife, we would go hang out at his now wife's parents' house, and his mother-in-law gave me the idea. And I was I love Star Wars and I love Jurassic Park. And she gave me that idea for that tattoo, and I went and did it. So
that's hilarious.
I just wonder because I just remember my friends were making so much fun of Jar Jar. Like they were just hating. So many people were hating on him.
Jay, do you get my do you get my newsletter?
I think I do.
Okay.
I don't remember.
You're going to like, you'll like next month's newsletter.
Okay. Oh.
We'll preview. Okay. Final question.
Okay.
in 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh. That's tough. Being a good dad. Oh. I mean, that's the go-to.
Yeah.
But I also want to be remembered for, like, my creativity, I guess, too. But most importantly, being a good dad.
Shut up. Shut up,
Richard. I hope that was the cat.
It was the cat.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Oh, kitty. I call cat, it doesn't matter how old the cat is, I still call it a kitty.
Yeah,
he'd be like 100 years old, hooked up on a ventilator, and be like, oh, kitty.
His birthday is 9/11, and which is really weird. But no, he's one of four cats that we have here. We got four cats, two dogs, eight chickens.
Wow. House. That is a farm.
Yep.
Wait, do you actually have eight chickens?
Yeah. I'm not supposed to, but I do.
Do they lay? Wait, do they the any of them lay eggs?
Or county ordinances?
On eight?
Yeah.
What is it, seven?
Yeah. So my lot size, I'm only allowed to have five max. So.
Oh my gosh, don't tell. You guys, so many listeners. This needs to be redacted.
They don't know where I live.
We're going to get those chickens. We're not going to let them have too many chickens. It was fun. But
no, they lay like right now, because the weather's getting better, they're laying more often. But like during the winter, it's like, what are you guys doing? Get to work, you know?
That's hilarious.
Oh, wow. Well, so awesome. You never have to buy eggs from the store. You just get them from your chickens.
Well, it depends on the time of the year, because if they're not laying as much.
Except for winter.
Yeah, right. Winter. But like about a week ago, I had like 5 dozen at one point, so we had to start just giving them away.
Keisha's. Wow. We're having a quiche tonight.
Fascinating. Yeah,
quiche every night.
Making pasta from scratch.
Right.
Come on. Well, hey, Jay Middleton, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Spending the black and a half hour here.
Yes.
With us, teaching us about Satanism.
I'm not an expert, by the way. Don't take any of this.
I just found the internet
to be like, oh, this is kind of like what I believe. So I guess I fall under this, but you know, but no, I'm really happy to be on here.
Yeah.
This has been fun. It's been too long since I've seen both of you. So it's just like,
it's insane. You know,
It's insane. So I'm really happy that you guys had me on.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Black and a half.
I'm going to plug real quick.
Oh yeah.
Go check out my band, Aurora's Eyes. They're on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, pretty much every digital music distributor. If you want to support us, the best place to do it is Bandcamp. Which is auroraseyes.bandcamp.com. Just because, honestly, just from a standpoint, streaming doesn't pay artists. Now, Bandcamp makes it to where you don't get paid by streaming, but you can buy the music from the artist and they'll make 80% of what you pay. And so, and it's pay what you want for our music. So go check it out. Go support us. Also, go support any band that you like. It's probably on Bandcamp, and they really need it during this time, especially with COVID really affecting the music industry. Bandcamp helped out with Bandcamp Fridays. One Friday a month, they will waive their fees, so the band will make 100% of the earnings that time.
It's awesome.
So go support music, support comedy, support art.
Black and a half.
Support Black and a Half. Live long and prosper.
prosper and prosper and prosper.